والمرسلين. صل اللهم وسلم وبارك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميمين. أما بعد، جماعة المسلمين، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، ولا تنكحوا المشركات حتى يؤمن ولأمة مؤمنة خير من مشركة ولو أعجبتكم ولا تنكحوا المشركين حتى يؤمنوا ولعبد مؤمن خير من مشرك ولو أعجبكم أولئك يدعون إلى النار والله يدعو إلى الجنة وإلى والمغفرة بإذنه ويبين آياته للناس لعلهم يتذكرون. صدق الله العظيم. In light of the digressive moral degradation in our society, and we touched on one particular aspect of it and how it is worsening, even being aided in terms of legislation by the government, the intoxication of the society, and the substances that they abuse in being intoxicated. We now see more of the substances being legalized. And as we know, that al-khamru ummul khaba'ith, intoxicants, are the mother of all evils. Ummul khaba'ith. And that is why when we looked at some of the statistics, we found a particular magistrate saying that more than 85 plus minus, correct me if I'm wrong for a few percentage, for a few percentages, but more than 85% of crime committed in this country is either alcohol or drug related. So, in the midst of that, and the digression will continue, because our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khayr al-quruni qarni," the best of eras is my era. ثم الذين يلونهم. Then those that come after, and then those that come after. So the first three generations of Islam that we normally refer to as Salafun al-Salih, our pious predecessors, they were those first three generations. And so there has been a digression, and the world continues to digress, especially in terms of the moral fabric of society. We look all over the world and we see it. And that puts a very heavy responsibility on our shoulders as the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the way that we are building up the Muslim ummah. And in each country, we find a Muslim community. Sometimes in the majority, sometimes in the minority. And I'm speaking in terms of numbers. And within that community, we have the Muslim family. Al-Usratul Muslima, which is the mihwar, the axis, around which the entire community revolves. So we have a great responsibility on our shoulders to be building up and to be making ever strong, that Muslim family, that strong axis that can hold all the cogs and mechanisms of the Muslim community. That's why in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And for that reason, we have made you the middle ummah. Why? لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, that you might be witnesses for the people. What does a witness do in a court of law? A witness testifies as to whether something happened or it didn't happen, whether it is true or false, whether it is right or wrong. In other words, a witness in terms of how we live in society, a witness is an example to be followed. And that's why the next thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا, that you as the middle ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you might be examples for the people, and the messenger will remain as an example for you. Remember, he is the last and final messenger. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ, we have not sent thee, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except as one who suffices for all peoples and for all times until the last hour. Bashira wa nadhira, as a bearer of glad tidings and as a warner. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O mankind, I am the messenger of Allah to you all. And that's why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will remain as that example to be followed. With him coming, as we've mentioned before, the completion and the culmination and the perfection of La ilaha illallah, of the chosen way of life. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورديت لكم الإسلام دينا. On this day I have perfected your religion for you and completed my favor upon you and chosen for you as your way of life total submission and surrender to Allah. So from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salam, Abu al-Bashr, the father of all mankind, La ilaha illallah, remaining the immutable, unchangeable faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to mankind, going through all the ages and all the generations of all the anbiya, ending with the completion, with the perfection of the deen of La ilaha illallah, the deen of tawheed, believing in the divine unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being completed and perfected with Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it will remain so until the last hour. So we, as the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad, who is an example to the entire mankind, we then carry that responsibility to set that example. And we look around us and we see this digression. We see this degradation. We see this moral bankruptcy. So what do we do? Do we add fuel to the fire? Do we help it along? Or do we stand firm? And inshallah, maybe this will be the first of a number of lectures pertaining to how we can do that, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But first we have to eliminate some of the aqabat, some of the obstacles that are lying in the road. Call it a phenomena. It's not something that is new, but it seems to be more pronounced. It seems to be more frequent. And that is the marrying of Muslims to non-Muslims. I said that very generally. Let's go to the verse and then we can discuss it. It's quite an intricate and quite a complex mas'ala. But inshallah ta'ala, I will try and simplify it as much as I can. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we're going to Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 221. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُ. Do not marry the woman who associate partners in the worship of Allah. Now this is a extremely long discussion in terms of the intricacies. Because what does Allah mean when He says mushrikat? Does He mean polytheist? Or does He mean all disbelieving women? Because there is much evidence that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to refer to all disbelievers, meaning kafir, somebody that has covered up that fitrah on which we are all born, on which we are all born. كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى فِطْرَةٍ. Every child is born in a natural state of submission and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we believe children that die before the age of takleef, when they become duty bound to recognize and acknowledge their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they will go straight to Jannah. Because they are still on the fitrah. And when somebody does become mukallaf, but they continue to cover up that faith, that is the action of kafara yakfuru, to cover up. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the farmers in the Quran as kuffar. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب وله وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the likeness of this world, something about play and amusement and mutual boasting and the gathering up of wealth and the accumulation of children. The likeness of a gentle rain, the produce that springs forth thereafter is pleasing to the eye of the farmer. Or the farmers, kuffar, plural of kafir. So literally, a kafir is a farmer. Why? Because he puts a seed in the ground and he covers it up. Kafara yakfuru. But in aqidah, a kafir is somebody who is covering up that fitrah. Kafir is not a dirty word. And again, I want to emphasize our responsibility in terms of helping those who are living with that covering over that natural state of submission and surrender, to help them unveil that fitrah on which they were all born. That is our responsibility. That is our duty. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Who is better in speech than the one that calls to Allah? The one that calls to uncovering that veil that is keeping them from their belief in the divine unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in following the last and final messenger, Muhammad Rasulullah salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. That is our duty, that is our responsibility. So the term mushrikat, and you can go and do your research, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala differentiates between Ahlul Kitabi wal Mushrikeena fi Nari Jahannam. He differentiates between Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, and the Mushrikeen in other verses of the Quran. But you can go to all the tafsir and the overwhelming majority here say that this kalima is amma. It is a general term that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using for disbelievers, including Ahl Kitab, including the Jews and the Christians and the Zoroastrians and the idol worshippers, etc., etc. Because we have another verse that comes at a later stage. Remember, this is Surah Al-Baqarah, the first of a Surah Al-Madaniyah. You know, the chapters in the Holy Quran are divided into مكي and مدني. مكية, السور المكية, those chapters of the Quran that were revealed before the Hijra. أي باعتبار الزمان وليس باعتبار المكان. In terms of time, not in terms of place. And those surah which are madaniyah are those chapters that were revealed after the Hijrah. Even though some verses were revealed in Makkah after the Hijrah, they will still be referred to as being madaniyah and not Makkiyah, because they were revealed when? After the Hijrah, even if they were revealed in Makkah. So Surah Al-Baqarah is the first chapter to be revealed after the Hijrah in Medina. And Surah Al-Ma'idah is one of the last chapters to be revealed in Medina. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and do not marry the mushrikat, umuman, generally speaking, the disbelieving woman, until they believe. But then an exception was made. An exception was made. Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that exception. Chapter 5, verse 5. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma uhilla lakum at-tayyibat wa ta'amu alladhina utul kitaba hillun lakum wa ta'amukum hillun lahum وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ إِذَا آتَيْتُمُهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ مُحْصِنِينَ غَيْرُ مُسَافِحِينَ وَلَا مُتَّخِذِي أَخْدَانٍ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this day all good foods have been made lawful for you, and the food of those who were given the scripture is lawful for you, and your food is lawful for them. And lawful in marriage are chaste women, women that have not committed zina, women that have not committed adultery and fornication. From among the believers, and chaste women from among those who were given the scripture before you, when you have given them their due compensation, desiring chastity, not unlawful intercourse or taking secret lovers. And whoever denies the faith, his work has become worthless, and he in the hereafter will be among the losers. So here's an exception that now comes later. So the general prohibition was on all disbelieving women. Then comes an exception. All disbelieving women, from the Zoroastrians, from the idol worshippers, etc., etc. And today, atheists and whatever other deen, whatever other religion they might be following. But now, except for Ahlul Kitab. وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. Al-Muhsanat, the chaste woman from those who were given the scripture, مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. And here, again, a long discussion. Who are muhsanat? Is easy. Chaste women. Women that have not committed adultery or fornication. Min alladhina utul kitab, from those that were given the book. The mufassirun, they say, al-yahud wal-nasara, the Jews and the Christians. Believing in deen samawi. Now, Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, disagrees with this. Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, what is more in terms of association in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is worse than a woman saying that Jesus is her God? In actual fact, Ibn Umar, he put this particular verse as being mansukh, as being abrogated, and the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 221, as being the abrogator, meaning that all disbelieving women, not permissible to marry them. But that's incorrect. Why? Because Surah Al-Baqarah came down before Surah Al-Ma'idah. So this is the exception. This is not abrogated. But now, does that mean mutlaqan? Absolutely. Without any quyood, without any restriction, without any shurut, without any conditions. No. There are quyud. There are restrictions. There are shurut. There are conditions. Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi, hafizahullah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him long life in the obedience of Allah, he wrote an excellent article with regards to this. And it is quite detailed. I'm going to try and just extract some of the most important points. In the beginning, he says, "Al-aslu fi al-zawaj min nisa' al-kitab 'inda jumhur al-muslimin huwa al-ibaha." That's the asl. In other words, the origin of this mas'ala is that it is permissible for a Muslim man to marry a woman from Ahl Kitab, Jew or Christian. Muhsanat, chaste woman, chaste woman. And they must be believing, a believing Jew, a believing Christian, and they must be practicing. So that is al-asl, al-ibaha. Ibaha meaning it's mubah, it is permissible. But they have put now, when I say now, in terms of salafan wa khalafan. Salafan wa khalafan. Meaning, from the time of the pious predecessors, up until now, because now we are finding more so-called minority Muslim communities living in the West. So in other words, there has been tatawur. There has been a so-called evolution that has taken place with regards to these restrictions and these preconditions. Especially when it comes to what they call fiqh al-aqalliyat. The fiqh, the understanding of how to practice our deen as a minority community within a largely non-Muslim community. So let us go through some of those quyud. Al-qayd al-awwal. Al-istithaq min qawniha kitabiyya. I've already mentioned that. Must be a believing Jew or a believing Christian. Al-qayd al-thani. An takuna afifa muhsana. We've already established that she must be chaste. Al-qayd al-thalith. An la takuna min qawmin yu'adun al-muslimin wa yuharibunahum. She must not be from a people that have enmity with the Muslim community and are fighting them. Al-qayd al-rabi' an la yakunu min wara'i al-zawaj min al-kitabiyya fitna wa la darar. That behind marrying that Jew or that Christian woman, there should be no fitna, trial upon the Muslim community or detriment. Now here comes something very, very important. And that is why, let me say it from the outset, that is why neither I nor 99% of so-called imams in this town will perform a nikah of a Muslim man to a non-Muslim woman, no matter what religion they might be from, including Jews and Christians. And that's nothing against the Jews and the Christians. I myself, for the first 18 years of my life, I was a Christian. And that is why in the beginning when I introduced this topic, what did I say? In view, in light of the moral degradation in society, and in view of our responsibility in performing that task for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us, to be the examples, to establish a good, strong Muslim community made up of good, strong Muslim families, it would most certainly not be in the best interest of the Muslim community if the Muslim men were going around marrying Jews and Christian women, them remaining on their deen, not helping them out of that darkness, not trying to save them. Yes, the niyyah should be always. The niyyah should be, okay, I'm going to marry this Christian woman, I'm going to marry this Jewish woman, but my niyyah is to bring her into the deen of Islam. The question is that going to happen in a non-Muslim community? This is where our contemporary scholars have now stepped up and said, in most cases, it's not going to happen. And I'm sure all of you sitting here perhaps know of somebody that when they got married to that Jewish woman or that Christian woman, that they thought, okay, give her some time. And in most cases, it didn't happen. I'm not saying it never happened. I'm not saying it never happened. It does happen. Certainly can happen. But we have to look at a very important legal maxim in the Sharia. And that is, ad-dararu yuzal. Detriment must be removed. All harm or potential harm for the Muslim community must be removed. Darr al-mafasid muqaddamun ala jalb al-masalih. That's another principle that we get from this legal maxim. That prevention of harm takes precedence over the deriving of benefit. So he's thinking, okay, I want to benefit the Jewish lady or the Christian lady by marrying them and then giving them da'wah. And then somewhere along the line, the hope is, inshallah, she will embrace Islam. What is the potential harm behind that? And what takes precedence? Especially when we are in a community of so many single Muslim ladies. That if the men are going to just marry Christian women and Jewish women, where are the Muslim women going to find husbands? And so this is why the ulama have put this down as a restriction. That Allah yakunu min wara' al-zawaj min al-kitabiyya fitnatun wala darar. There should be no trial. No trial on the Muslim community, especially for our Muslim sisters out there that are battling to find Muslim males to marry, because the Muslim males are busy chasing after Kathy and Susan and Elizabeth at the work. From this, the discussion goes into أَيَنْتَشَرْ الزَّوَاجْ مِنْ غَيْرِ الْمُسْلِمَاتِ بِحَيْثُ يُؤْثِرُ عَلَى الْفَتَيَاتِ الْمُسْلِمَاتِ الصَّالِحَاتِ لِلزَّوَاجِ. We've mentioned that. Muslim men preferring marrying non-Muslim women from the people of the book and the harm that comes thereafter. The other mas'ala that comes from this, and this is particularly in a non-Muslim society. Yes, alhamdulillah, here in Cape Town, we have a very established Muslim community. But we are still a minority. We are still a minority. And marrying a Jewish or Christian woman in a society that is largely non-Muslim, where they are living with mostly non-Muslims from their religion, with their family, the awamil, or the causes to encourage and bring her into Islam are minimal. Why? Because there is no encouragement in terms of, if she had been in a Muslim country, surrounded by Muslims, being away perhaps from her colleagues and friends whom she used to associate with from her religion that she is still on, then that context would be considered different to the context of her living in a largely non-Muslim community. Again, this is a matter that is debated amongst the ulama. But we have to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this aql with which we serve the naql. What is the naql? Not these knuckles. Now the Mu'tazilites, as we would say in English, a group that in the early years of Islam delved into Greek philosophy. And they ended up even denying certain attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because they used the aql as the scale of differentiation. In other words, they would look at the text and they would say, okay, if it makes sense, I will accept it. If not, I will reject it. Or I'll find some other meaning for it. So they would make taqdeem al-aql al-naql. They would put their intellect before the text. Then some other groups came thereafter and went in the completely opposite direction. We're almost denying the aql and going for literal interpretation. Whereas Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we use the aql fi khidmat al-naql. We use the intellect to serve the text within the bounds of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why when you go through the tafasir about these masail, and if you go back even to the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, he actually told Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman to divorce his Jewish wife because of the fitna of the Muslims in Iraq following Hudhayfa and also marrying non-Muslims, Jewish or Christians, that which was permissible, and then leaving the Muslim females. So it's not just something that is new. It comes from the time of the Salaf, right up to contemporary scholarship in today's time. But especially in a case, and we find many of these cases of Muslim men that have traveled from the Middle East or the East or from a Muslim country and gone to work in America, gone to work in Europe, and being in a place that is overwhelmingly non-Muslim, and they marry a Kitabiya. They marry a Jewish woman, they marry a Christian woman. And because of the pressure from the society, from her family, he ends up almost living, maybe not believing, but living like a non-Muslim. So these are the fitan and the adrar. These are the trials and the potential harms that come from such a marriage. And then of course, in a country like South Africa, with the laws very much in favor of the woman, and we've seen this happen time and time again, a Muslim man, he marries a Christian woman or a Jewish woman, and mostly Christian, and she doesn't enter Islam, and then something happens a few years down the line, and they split up. She takes the children, she gets custody, and she raises them as non-Muslims. Even though his name is Ahmad and Sulaiman, but Ahmad and Sulaiman end up going to the church down the road. So it's not just according to our whims and fancies. مَنْ قَالَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ بِرَأِيهِ أَوْ بِمَا لَا يَعْلَمْ فَقَدْ تَبَوَّعُ مَقْعَدُهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. That's what our beloved Prophet ﷺ says. Whoever says anything about the Quran, that which is based on their whims and their fancies, that which they say based on that which they do not know, then they've prepared for themselves a seat in the fire. We can't just open. And what's happening? Today people are opening the translation of the meaning of the Quran and making their own tafsir. Quran was revealed in Arabic. Inna anzalnahu Quranan Arabiyan. But yet people think, no. Open the translation of the meaning of the Quran and draw their own conclusions. Bring out their own fatwa. Everybody become a mufti nowadays. Jamaatul Muslimin, my time is up. The second aspect, and I'm going to sum this up in a minute, inshallah ta'ala, and I'm going to just move forward, and that is وَلَا تُنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا. And do not marry the disbelieving men. We spoke about believing men marrying disbelieving women, or even marrying women being Jewish or Christian, min Ahl Kitab. Now we're speaking about Muslim females marrying non-Muslim men. A phenomena that is becoming more popular in this town, Jamaatul Muslimin. Let me solve you the problem of taking you through all the mufassirin, through all the ulama, salafan wa khalafan, pious predecessors, up till today. There is ijma'. وَإِنَّ أُمَّتِي لَنْ تَجْتَمِعَ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ أَوْ لَا تَجْتَمِعَ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ. The Prophet said, my ummah will never ever arrive at consensus over something that is false. There is absolute ijma that such a nikah is batil, with No restrictions, no preconditions, or no idea of permissibility in any way for a Muslim female to marry a non-Muslim male, no matter what the religion they might be from. There is ijma' on that. There's consensus. And we can debate, what does consensus mean for the Malikiyah? Consensus means the agreement of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een that were in Medina. That's for Imam Malik. For Imam Shafi, the ulama of the world. The ulama of the world, according to Al-Imam Ghazali, narrating from Al-Imam Shafi'i. And according to the Hanbalis and the Ahnaf, again, ijma for the companions that all the companions agreed on. I'm telling you, this is ijma salafan wa khalafan. From the pious predecessors, till this day, there is no alim of note that will say that such a marriage is permissible. And as long as they are married, and as long as they are, excuse me, but I'm using a very mundane term, as long as they are sleeping together, they are committing zina. Such a marriage. A Muslim female being married to any non-Muslim male, Christian, Jew, or otherwise, it is not permissible. And it goes against the idea of building this Muslim ummah, of strengthening the Muslim family, of us being witnesses for the people to help them. This is not about looking down upon Jews or Christians. I'm a revert myself. This is about us fulfilling our duty towards them in bringing them, inshallah ta'ala, back to La ilaha illallah and with the completion and culmination and perfection of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I speak to myself as a father of a daughter, and I speak to all the fathers out there. Jamaat al-Muslimin, we have to be very careful. Allah is going to question us on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْعُولٌ عَنْ رَأِيَّتِي. All of you are shepherds and all of you are going to be questioned about your flock. And especially about our women folk. Especially about our daughters. Where is our ghira? لَا يُدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ الدَّيُوثِ. The dayuth will not enter paradise. Many dayuth, ya Rasulullah. Who is the dayuth, O Messenger of Allah? It says, man la ghirata la. The person that has no protection of the honor of his women folk. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to raise our daughters to understand the importance of their role in the future of this ummah. What did Ahmad Shawqi say? Al ummu madrasatun idha a'dattaha a'dattah sha'ban. طيب الأعراقي. He says, the woman is a madrasa. She is the first, her lap is the first university of the child. If you prepare her well, if we prepare our daughters well, we've prepared a nation, an ummah of great pure stock in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we are going to be creating families where the children are not sure whether they are Muslim, whether they are Christian, whether they are whatever they are, what kind of an ummah are we going to have? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide and protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to that which is pleasing to Him and keep us from all that which is displeasing to Him. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
الحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب يا رب يا ستار العيوب استر عيوبنا يا رب يا غفار الذنوب اغفر ذنوبنا يا رب يا مفرج الكروب فرج كروبنا يا رب يا علام الغيوب قنا شر ما أهمنا وغمنا ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا عليما بخلقك يا خبيرا بخلقك يا لطيفا بخلقك ألتف بنا بما جرت به المقادير إنك على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله يا من بدنياه اشتغل وغره طول الأمل الموت يأتي بغتة والقبر صندوق العمل وأشهد أن والقبر صندوق العمل وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين بلغ العلا بكماله كشف الدجى بجماله عظم جميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله صلى عليك الله يا علم الهدى ما هبت النسائم وما ناحت على الأيك الحمائم أما بعد فيا حماة الإسلام وحراس العقيدة إلى أين يا سارة الكرام اسمعوا معي ما قاله مولانا تبارك اسمه في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا تنكحوا المشركات حتى يؤمن ولا أمة مؤمنة خير من مشركة ولو أعجبتكم ولا تنكحوا المشركين حتى يؤمنوا ولا عبد مؤمن خير من مشرك ولو أعجبكم صدق الله العظيم فيا أخوة الأفاضل في هذه الأيام وفي هذا المجتمع علينا مسؤولية كبيرة وهو كما ذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه العزيز وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا فكيف نكون شهداء على الناس يا أخوة الأفاضل ونحن لا نبني مجتمعا مسلما قويا قوي الإيمان قوي العمل فعلينا يا أخوة الأفاضل أن نبني أسرة الأسرة التي هي محور هذا المجتمع أن نبني أسرة مسلمة خالصة صافية فنسأل الله تعالى يوفقنا لكل ما يحب ويرضى أعوذ بكم من هناك إلى هنا وما أدراك ما هنا هنا مدرسة محمد هنا مدرسة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول فيها الحبيب المصطفى البر لا يبلى والذنب لا ينسى والديان لا يموت اعمل ما شئت كما تدين تدان ويقول أيضا كل ابن آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فيا أيها المسلمون أوصيكم ونفسي المذنبة أولا بتقوى الله تعالى وطاعته فقد قال الله تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن واكثروا عباد الله من الصلاة والسلام على سيدي وحبيبي ونور قلبي محمد طب القلوب ودوائها وعافية الأبدان وشفائها ونور الأبصار وضيائها إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارضى اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر وعمر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن الحسن والحسين وأهل بدر والحنين وعن سائر أهله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن سائر صحابته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي بفضلك كلمتي الحق والدين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين وفي غزة خاصة يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في الشام في حلب وحمص ومعارة النعمان. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان. اللهم انصرهم وثبت أقدامهم يا رب العالمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله وأقم الصلاة.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
لا إله إلا الله، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. استو، اعتدلوا، تراصوا، سد الخلل، سو صفوفكم، فإن تسوية الصف من تمام الصلاة. Heels in line, shoulder touching shoulder. Close all the gaps, and please make sure that all cell phones are on silent or switched off. Allahumma ahsin wuqufana bayna yadayk wa la tukhzini yawma dhalik, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad nabiyyi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan. Allahu akbar. وما أنا من المشركين إن صلاتي ونسكي وبذلك أمرت وأنا من المشركين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. هل أتاك حديث موسى إذ ناداه ربه بالوادي المقدس طوى، اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى، فقل هل لك إلى أن تزكى وأهديك إلى ربك فتخشى، فأراه الآية الكبرى فكذب وعصى، ثم أدبر يسعى، فحشر فنادى، فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى، فأخذه الله نكال الآخرة والأولى، إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. الله أكبر. سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. اللهم اغفر لما قدمت وما أخرت. أنت المقدم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. نستغفر الله العظيم نستغفر الله العظيم نستغفر الله العظيم التواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم ونتوب إليه ونسأله التوبة والمغفرة إنه هو التواب الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم أعطنا إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا وأقلا تاما وعلما نافعا وعملا صالحا وخلقا حسنا. اللهم احفظنا يا الله من الشك والشرك والكفر والفسوق والنفاق وسوء الأخلاق وسوء المنظر والمنقلب في المال والأهل والولد. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.